We're now beginning tape two with Mary Asadourian. Today is Thursday, September 16th, 1993. This is Paul Sigrist, and we're at the Ellis Island Immigration Museum recording studio using the digital machine. Barbara Dorion, Mrs. Asadourian's daughter-in-law, is also in attendance. You were at the orphanage for 2 years.
At the orphanage, when I got into the orphanage, first time, they don't call you by your name. They call you newcomers, but by
newcomers.
But one day there was a girl they just brought from Turkish family house. She was crying. I said, her name was Eva. I said, Eva, why are you crying? He said, I don't know my mother. They going looking for my mother. They found the mother. They brought. They put her on the laundry store to work because being an older person, they gave her a job. After a week, she died from pneumonia because where the laundry room was cold. And this, I felt so sorry for Eva losing the mother because I knew what it means to be separated from your mother. I said, Eva, don't cry. What can you do? I said, don't cry. So she come. She came so close to me. She was like sister to me. She used to comb every morning my hair because I had brunette hair, long hair like this. Sometime here, I knew some. How can you lose that much hair? What, forget about it. She used to comb my hair all the time, every morning. One day she came near to me. She said, Mary, why don't you go to school? Because that time, afternoon, we had to go out in the yard to clean weed from the what they going to cook. They used to put us on chairs to clean the stones from whatever they cook, going to cook for the dinner at night. They had to be something to go over with. That's why I didn't go. So I used to see to go to clean the stones from the whatever. So this woman said, Mary, she says to me, why don't you go to school again? I said, Eva, they want me here. They don't want me in school. So anyway, so she said, I do that job for you. Will you teach me a little bit writing and reading? I said, all right, I try. I did try, but her mind was in the right place. Anyway, the next day I went to school. They used to give you something, you know, stocking socks or something. I used to mend one socks. One day I went upstairs to the class. She said, where is Mariam? I said, I'm here, always in the back. Because being the smallest, I used to sit in the front. She said, why did you sit on the front? I said, I feel like guilty. I had no socks to wear. I didn't want to go without socks to the classroom. But I couldn't mend it anymore. I didn't do it. Mend here, mend there. There was nothing left to mend. So she asked the office to give me socks. I came with that sock to America anyway.
Well, tell me how you got out of the orphanage.
The orphanage when after whatever life I had was there. One day I went to the French school, French class. Something started laughing at me. She kicked me out from the class. I haven't forgotten that because I feel guilty. She says, Mary, you're destroying the others. Why are you laughing? I don't know. I couldn't stop laughing. So anyway, she kicked me out of the class. But the English class, I was doing all right. Anyway, so I said to Eva, I said, because I can't go to the school anymore. not now. But after 2 years, as I said, when the little bit settled, my uncle, by this Eva by name, she had an uncle here. After a while, she came to America too.
Her uncle brought her.
She had an uncle here.
Well, so what happened to you when you got out of
I didn't get the orphanage only 1 week to came to America because, as I said, my uncle, my mother's brother was here. and my stepbrother father, they sponsored for me, for us to come to America. That's how I came to America.
Well, how did you get in contact with them?
Oh, my uncle, which is I was with them all the time. My aunt and her husband, which they always take care of me.
Who lived in Aleppo?
In Aleppo, yeah. They arranged everything.
Had they gone to America?
I came with them to America.
Oh, you came with them.
He arranged to my uncle how to come to America. So they told us what to do. They were a sponsor.
I see.
Until now, I don't know how I left my mother there, as if I'm going from uptown, downtown. Next day, I'm going to see my mother. I never saw my mother anymore because they couldn't bring my mother to America.
When was the last time you saw your mother? Had you seen her while you were in the orphanage?
Every once in a while, not all the time.
So was she in Aleppo by that time?
She died there. Oh, yeah. I never saw her anymore. She couldn't come to America. I was going to bring America 1928. I became citizen. I was going to bring her to America. By that time, she had very weak heart. When she went to take visa to come to America, the doctors saw her, she couldn't breathe. She wasn't able to breathe. So they said, Trivanda, if you go to America, I don't know if you can cross the ocean with your condition. But if you stay here, you can live 2 more years. She just lived 2 more years, no more than that.
So when you became an American citizen in 1928, she was still living in
Aleppo
at that time.
And then I asked her to come again. You know why she didn't come? She could have come. She said, where can I leave my mother? Because her mother and sister was in Aleppo yet.
Did you want to come to America? Did you want to come to America?
I didn't know the difference.
What did you know about America?
America, oh yes, because by that time, as I said, I didn't have much education, but they used to talk about America.
What did they say?
But not much I understood because, as I said, in the orphanage, we were even thinking we're not going to live. We were living day by day. Nobody cares next day anymore because we didn't know if next day was going to come. One day, as I said, when they said the Turks are coming to burn the orphanage, you know what I had for treasure? 1 teaspoon cotton and 1 needle. I took that as if that was my pleasure. I hid myself under the sink. And there was a little window. I wanted to sit near the window to see what was going doing on the main floor, on the ground floor. But thank God, as I said, English people came to save us. They didn't burn the orphanage. And then after that, as I said, my uncle got connected with uncle here. He had a brother here too. My uncle, his brother, younger brother, had come from before the war. He had come to America.
And where did he live in America?
We were in Lenox Avenue. He used to make a shoemaking store. My uncle, my mother's brother.
And he had come before the war.
Yeah. Then they came, and we came to this place.
Wait! Don't tell us this yet. Let's tell me about what it was like. You traveled with your aunt and your uncle.
Yes.
Anybody else?
No, but when we came to Beirut, they gave visa to them. They didn't give us visa because we had nobody to support us. We had a little hard time, so we had to go friends for me to get visa.
Now, did I misunderstand earlier? I understood that you were married before you left.
It was here. I never. At that time,
that
was only 10 years old that time.
Okay.
So anyway. So
you went to Beirut.
We had to go friends to Beirut. They gave them husband and wife and their child, which my sister they adopted. They didn't give me visa for me.
Do you remember what you took with you when you left?
What did I have? Nothing. Maybe a little bit a sock or maybe one underpants. Maybe if I had, I don't know if I had. Anyway, because orphanage only gave you one pair. Anyway.
Now, how did you get from Beirut to France?
That, I think, they had to get some agent, like to Jesus sometimes,
like a travel
to travel there in order I'd be able to get my visa from there. But I had to stay there 6 months to be able to get that visa.
But do you know how you got from Beirut to France?
That's how I get. I got. That's.
But how? Did you go by boat or by train?
I don't remember. I don't remember.
Do you remember where in France you went to?
I don't know that much. We went to some certain place to stay there. I think in Paris, we were in Paris in a backyard someplace waiting for the boat, or the, I think that was boat.
What did you think about France? I mean, you came from a very different kind of place. What was?
How much did I know to know the difference? That time
you
I
spoke a little French.
Yes, but wherever I went, shopping and everything, that French made a lot of big difference. But anyway, didn't help me, and nobody will help me anyway. Anyway, but
do you remember what you had to go through to get your papers when you were in France?
I don't know. Whatever I did, whatever they told me, but where they gave the visa, he asked me a few things, and I answered him in France. I remember that. So I said, my uncle wants me to go there. Who is your uncle? They wanted to know if he'll support me, not the American people will support me. They wanted to have somebody to support you. Otherwise, they wouldn't take you. So anyway, they were sure he could support me. So that's how they gave me a visa. When I came to the here.
You were in France for 6 months?
6 months.
6 months. And then you and your uncle and your aunt got a boat. Got on the ship?
Let me see. How did I come from France to this place? I think, yeah, I came with them again. Yeah, because I was with them all the time. Since I had the visa, I could go with them.
Right,
I came
once
with.
You got it, you
I,
could
I come with them because they arranged to be a sponsor to come to America.
Do you remember the name of the boat that you took? The name of the ship?
I don't know. I forgot. I had written. I still have those my passport and everything someplace. I don't know where it is.
Do you remember what the boat looked like?
The boat wasn't a good-looking boat because we had no money to get in a good boat. I was all the way underground. I hardly saw the ocean because it was our room underground. I was always nauseous. I couldn't eat anything. I didn't do anything. Only once I went to the cafeteria, what the others were eating. I ate a little bit before I came. I had to throw it away. I didn't go anymore there.
So you got seasick on the boat?
Always. As I said, I didn't see the ocean because I was always on the bed.
Do you know what time of year this is?
1920.
But what time of the year? What season is
it? Oh, November when we came, must be September, because when we came from the boat to the island, because there was sick people in the boat, they took us different island to go through. They didn't want to take us in. They put us in what island it was.
So you think it's like September when you're
traveling?
Yeah,
because when we were in that island waiting for the sick man, because there was a sick man, they said there is Thanksgiving going on in America. We made the Thanksgiving there. In other words, it must be November.
So you were here by November?
By November.
Yeah. Do you remember anything else about being on the boat? You were sick, and you had a cabin way down below. Does anything else stick out in your mind?
There was a lot of Italian people. They talk Italian. They were making mangia, mungia, talking like that. Everything was new for me. But as I said, mostly I was sleeping. I couldn't. I have a lot of trouble that they take.
Do you remember if your aunt and uncle were sick?
No, my aunt was sick too, because we were all on the same level. But my uncle was pretty good. Sometimes he used to bring food from the cafeteria a little bit, biscuit or something. But I couldn't eat that one too, as I said. I couldn't keep it.
Was the boat clean or was it dirty?
I couldn't tell. I didn't care. I didn't feel that anything to know what's going on.
Do you remember how long the boat trip was?
I think it took 20 days to come to New York.
Days.
Oh, yes. Yeah. 20 days to come to New York.
And do you remember seeing the Statue of Liberty when you arrived?
That's the first thing you see.
Did it mean anything to you?
Oh, it means something new. You were all altogether different section of the world. Yeah, it's altogether a different feeling.
Of course, New York looks a lot different than Beirut.
Yes. Before that, we had to stay in the island two nights too.
That's right. Now let me get the story clear. There were men who were sick on the boat, and they took you to not Ellis Island, but a different island.
Yeah.
Maybe Hoffman Island.
I don't know what. Maybe because that's the time only they brought sometimes the spaghetti. All that trip in 20 days, that spaghetti I ate there enjoyably. It stayed in my stomach.
For the first time. So everyone at the other island, whatever that was, they let everybody off the boat. Then you had to
Those who could go, they had no trachoma or something, they were out. Those who didn't... but at the first time, they would have to stay on that island because it's from the same people from the boat. But after that, they arranged things themselves. Somebody came pick them up or something that was different.
And then did they bring you to Ellis Island, to this island?
And then they brought to Ellis Island.
What do you remember about Ellis Island?
Ellis Island, when we came, we had to stay two nights. But they fed us. They gave us something to eat. Two nights I stayed in the island, in the city, Ellis Island.
Ellis Island.
So the next day, we heard that my uncle had come to collect us, me and my uncle too. They went, my uncle, without trouble, they went out. They could go out. I don't know why. But I and my niece, which we were coming together, we had to have a sponsor. They didn't want us. The government didn't want to help us. A sponsor should collect us. So when they came, when I and my niece, they put us behind the bar. We couldn't go out. We were behind the bar. There was, on the line, there was two men. They were waiting island to take us. A few, or not only us, whoever. There was many others beside us. So I said, Helen, those two men looking at us, you think one is my brother and my uncle? Oh, see, you talk too much. You make everybody uncle or brother. I said, there is nobody here looking for us. Nobody's interested in us. I had that man, she was older than I. Anyway, she laughed at me. So I said, and you know how I came? With a ribbon bow on my head, with the long hair like this, all the way Dwarf. So one of them said, in Armenian, which one? He didn't say. I had a pet name, which is Haji.
Which was your nickname,
that's
Haji.
Pet name, whatever. Which one of you is Haji? I said, I am. Then they knew who we were. Because when they left us, my brother, I hardly knew. That was stepbrother, which left from my home. But my uncle, I remember he used to take me on his shoulder. He used to jump up and down. I was that child, that baby yet. That's why sometimes when I talked to him about things I knew in where I was, he wouldn't believe his eyes, ears, that I remember those things. They didn't know us. We were grown up.
Was the stepbrother from your father's first marriage?
First marriage. So anyway, when I said, I am, then they came near the gate. They said, don't be afraid. We came to take you on. Tonight we're going to go home. One night they went home. But one night I stayed one more day. I don't know why.
Where did you sleep on Ellis Island?
They had the cot. They had the cot we slept in. And early in the morning, we got up. I think they gave something to eat.
And what did Ellis Island look like?
Ellis Island is different. When I came, when you see the
statue.
You say, my goodness, altogether you can't explain. I felt like we were coming in heaven. So we were coming in heaven. I was young, but I knew the difference. You feel like that. Thank God, you weren't killed.
It was like a rebirth.
Rebirth, right? Like a rebirth. Even 16 years old, I felt like rebirth.
And was Ellis Island crowded when you were here?
Yes, pretty crowded.
Do you remember if you had to undergo any kind of physical exams?
Oh, yes. The first thing they watch trachoma. They watch everything else. When you go through the road, gate,
line, yeah.
they tell you what you got, what you don't got.
How did they test for trachoma?
Trachoma, they were checking. Before you get your visa, they check you. They don't send you here just like that. That's why my aunt didn't come, couldn't come. I had an aunt who chat. My aunt and my other family were left in Aleppo yet. We were supposed to bring them after. I never saw them.
Was trachoma a common disease in the Middle East, in those countries?
Yes, they used to be careful, I think. Well, people used to be very careful. But thank God, when I went in the orphanage, they took care of me. When this Miss Ellis, I see, which she examined my eyes, she went like this. You have beautiful eyes and beautiful look. They used to talk about my eyes all the time because I had a curly eyelashes and I don't know. They used to say beautiful eyes. You have beautiful eyes.
So as poor as you were in the orphanage, you really were better off than.
You were in protection.
And you had some food and you had some clothing. I mean, you were better off.
Better off. But one night then I went to sleep at night. I couldn't sleep. So when I went like this, there was lice. So second day, the caretaker watched me. Every time after I went to bed, I used to go in the quilt and then go to bed. She was noticing me. They knew what family you came from. She said, Mariam, why aren't you doing like this? Why aren't you sleeping? I said, I think her name is Vartoye. I said, there is lice in it. I'm not able to sleep. She said to me, if I give you one quilt without mat underneath, will you be happy? I said, sure. She gave me one quilt to take half of it to the bottom, half of it under me. Still, after in the morning, you had to put all on the bed on each top of each other. You had to collect and put it on the top, each other. You know, you can. We were sleeping on the ground, but in the morning you had to pick it up. So one day I went there, I picked it up, and I was put. You know what she came to say to me? Says Mary. She says Mariam. She says Mariam. Excuse me. Leave until everybody puts their quilts. Put on the top. That saved the lice from me. I don't know, wherever I was, I have loved. One day she said to me, but the mothers used to get their lunch separately. Those, when we called mother, who take care of us.
This is at the orphanage.
She said, one of the women went, she came back. She said, they didn't give me any food for you. She sent me. I went there and I go there. I said, I know you. I didn't know her. She says, where do you know? I want some. She says, what have you got today for the mothers? We used to call mother. She says, what do you care what I got? I have to take some food for my mother. Who do you think? I said, she sent me. I have to take my, I argue with you. I don't know how to argue. She gave me. She gave me the food. From that on, I was her favorite. No matter what I did, she used to take care of me. We had a lot of eye sorrows. They used to have a lot of eye trouble.
Like the trachoma.
Because, beside that, because Turks dropped things to blind you. Some of them had
like chemicals.
Chemicals who blind you. Some of them were blinded.
It'd be like gas. Like
oh yes,
gas.
They blinded it. Some of them were blinded. So one day when I went there, they gave me. They were going to give me that too. So I said, "Mom, I said they're going to eye doctor." He said, No, you're not going to go to the eye doctor. She said, well, how am I going to do? I'll do something for you. As I said, when I came, I became their favorite. She said, I want you to go to your mother. She's in the city. I am in the orphanage.
This is your real mother.
I said, I don't know how to go. So she said, you have to take a chance. Go this way, go that way. I don't know nothing. No, people speak Arabic. This way, go that way, go that way. I took a chance. Said, if you stay here, you're going to get blind because my eyes started getting hurting me very badly. She said, I want to save your eyes. So you have to go to your mother. That's how. So I said, how am I going to go? So she told me, when I came in the sea, because from the Babur Faraj, they used to call. That was the main road. I know how to go to my mother's. But if I had to go the side road, I didn't know how to go to my mother. I took the side road. First time I saw those who works with men, what do you call? They give themselves to men.
Prostitute.
So I saw from the people, they were looking at me. They thought maybe I was looking someplace to do the same thing because they saw me young, 16, 17-year-old beautiful girl. They used to tell me, maybe they were jealous or something. They kept on looking all around until I passed the side road. When I went home, first thing I said, Ma, why are the girls are painted? Says, how do you know? She said, how do you know? I said, because also my eyes hurting me, but I saw them. They were all colored, dress colored. The hair is different. They look different. She got angry. She said, how did you come? Because she was afraid, I guess. I said, I didn't come. My mother told me to come that way because she didn't want me to see from the father, which take care of our house. Because our father, which used to take care of the house, he used to walk in the Babur Faraj street. If I met her, he wouldn't take me to the orphanage again if she saw me. That's why she sent me to the side. So I said to her, this is why. So she took me in a closet, dark closet, 2 weeks in order to get relieved the sore of my eye. And meanwhile, they went someplace. That time they were giving to the refugees some kind of help sometimes from the church or from American people. So she brought something.
Well, let's get you back to America, away from the prostitutes in Aleppo.
Yeah, no, everything.
And so your stepbrother and your uncle meet you and your aunt and your niece.
Tukusin, yes.
At Ellis Island. Where did they take you?
There was a girl which we brought her as a
was she an orphan also?
Because when we were coming, this girl was in somebody's house doing cleaning. Because my uncle needed a wife, they were looking for a girl to, excuse me, I don't know why, to bring him.
He wanted to get married.
A girl, what do you call her? A girlfriend, let's say.
Right.
To fiancé.
A wife to be.
Oh, yes, fiancé. She was coming with us. So
she had never met him before.
No, never met before. Because she was orphan. My uncle has said, let's save an orphan. And meanwhile, she'll be good for a wife. She'll be a nice person.
Was this a common thing for people to do? Like
that time,
orphan Armenians to bring them to
the
country?
That time, everything possible, whatever they could do, they did whatever they could do.
Anything to get the Armenians out and into America.
Or into America or save them from killing. Anyway, so that's how we came to America. They got married. And I had to live with them.
Right, where did the first night that you were in America after you got off of Ellis Island? Where did you go?
I had to go with uncle. My uncle rented a two-bedroom apartment. My uncle was a shoemaker on Lenox Avenue.
Is this in Queens?
Lenox Avenue. No, Harlem.
Harlem.
So, because he knew a lot of black people, they knew where to find me they have to find her, him, with apartments so they can put all of us in. So that's how we came in.
What did the apartment look like? Describe the apartment.
The apartment was one room after another,
like
because
a railroad.
There was a hall and one bedroom. I don't know where we stayed, maybe on the front. Makes no difference for us.
Did it have electricity in it?
I think they had electricity in it. So it was only one room. So when we went there, being a little bit English knowing, I could do that much. My aunt said, you know, we were from the boat, or we were all hungry. We didn't have anything to eat. She thought it will be good if she made a potato salad, Armenian style. We don't put no mayonnaise, nothing, no oil, only scallion, parsley, or onion. So she said to me, Mary, she said, maybe you think you could go and, she depended me. You could go, maybe she could bring some parsley or something to make you potato salad. Oh, that potato salad, oh, wait a minute. I went there because I have, that, as I said, they saw me. They started making fun of me. You know, young girl, inexperienced, just came. Anyway, I said, I got angry. I said, why are you making angry? Why are you talking to me like that? You have no right to talk like that to me. Because they wanted to make fun of, if they can get me, they want to get. But I know, my mother had taught me how to keep your virgin, let's say. So anyway, I said, I know what I want. If I see it, I tell you. She said, all right, look around. You're bossing around us here. So I said, all right, I boss around or not, but when I see it, I saw the parsley. I took the parsley, I came home, I went home. 112th Street. The street is the same. The avenue is the same. The house is not the same. I didn't know what to do. I said, how can this be? The street is the same. Avenue is the same. The house is not ours. I said, let me try the other way too. I went, because I know where I came. I wanted to make sure I go again the same way. I went the same way in the other house. It was near the 5th Avenue, the house. I went to the house ours, the number is ours. I went in. So when my uncle came from the store that night, I said, uncle, I said, the one who sponsored, I got some problem today. He said, what? How is that the house is not, the number is the same, the house is not the same? He took me out. He said, this is 5th Avenue, Haji. This is 5th Avenue. We have East and West. You have to learn how to go east side. You have to learn how to go west side. So I had that one too. I learned that one too. After that, after we stayed there, when they got married.
How long did you stay there before they got married?
Not much. After 2 days, they got married because they
had. They got married that
fast. Very quickly.
How did they like each other?
They didn't care. As long as it's always matching anyway. So, but she was a nice girl. But the only thing is that when you're a bit, little bit, maybe my uncle or my brother were favoring me because I just came from the war or something, she started to, everything I did, I was wrong.
She was a little jealous of you.
So, we didn't do this right. You didn't clean the, when I cleaned the, wash the dishes, she didn't like. When I washed the vegetable, she didn't like. Something like that. But my uncle was the same house, the one who brought me, my aunt which they were, all in the, during the war I was with them. They took care of me. So, because they noticed what's going on. So that's why they married me, to be supported.
How soon after you got here were you married?
I don't think it took long.
A year?
Not even a year. In 1921 I got married. No.
So they found someone to
get married. Yes.
How did you feel about that?
I didn't care. I did whatever they. I didn't know about it anyway. I didn't know what sex was. But the baby came 9 months later.
Do you remember the first time you were introduced to your husband before you were married?
Yes, when we went, one of the girls which came with us, she had already arranged her marriage. She married right away too, like her. They were two sisters. because they both are orphan. My uncle said, we saved both sisters. They were two sisters. We saved them. It's pity. It's a pity. Let's save them. And they're orphan too. So, but they were already one, my uncle got married, and the other one, they already had a man, ready man, to marry. They were married. So one day they said, we were going to go to that married person's house. When I went there, they said, somebody's going to come to look at you. I said, ah, who's going to look at me? I was sitting there. This man comes, talk English with me, because he knew, they told him, I can speak English. He made fun of me, talking, you know, he too started making fun. He wanted to know how much English I knew, baby. That's what I saw, that much I saw. Next day, when we came, May 21st, they engaged me. May 29th, they got married me.
Well, and you arrived in November, so that's just a few months.
So, what was 7 months later about?
His last name was Asadurian.
No, his night name was Asadurian.
His first name was what?
Matthew.
Mm. And was he Armenian from Europe also, or had he been born here?
He had come before the war to America. That's how they knew him.
So he'd been here for a while.
He was here for a while.
What was he doing for a living at that time?
What was he doing for that time? I think he was shoemaker too. He was shoemaker.
Were there a lot of Armenians up in Harlem at that time?
No, there was nobody. In fact, one day when I went to my uncle's store, which he was shoemaker, when they saw me, all those black people saw me, they kept on looking at each other, what this girl doing here? But I wasn't afraid. My uncle was there. I went. I said to my uncle. I said, "Uncle," because he was in the Lenox Avenue. I said, they all looked at me. I said, "Because you're white, they were afraid of the white. At that time, they were afraid of the white ones."
That's very interesting.
So.
Can you describe your wedding for me?
The wedding.
You were married in May of 1921.
1921.
Can you just describe the ceremony and?
My father, in my childhood, to the stepdaughter he had, everything they used to do for her. But over there in Averak, I'm going back again.
Right.
In Averak,
from
where the city I was born, they used to bring the men to take her size of the shoe. They used to bring a dressmaker for her to make dress. Nobody cared for me. Nobody did anything for me. One day I remember we were eating in the veranda that we were eating. I was crying. He said, why are you crying? I said, you're doing everything to Anush. Her name was Anush, which means whatever. I said, you're sweet, but that is the name. Anyway, you're not making anything for me. He said to me, anything for you? There isn't anything I do for her, I'll do for you. Don't forget, when you grow up, there isn't anything I won't do. Then he said, I'm going to marry you, anyone you want, because by that time, they were matchmaking. But that time, my father understood matchmaking is not working all the time. He was an educated man. But when I got the marriage time,
many years later,
in America, I remember my father. I cried so much. I said, you were going to do everything for me. They told me, look in the looking glass, see how you look as a bride. I didn't want to look in the making. Until now, I'm sorry for it. I didn't know how I look in a wedding gown because it wasn't mine. My uncle's wife's wedding gown I had to wear. I said to my father in front, they said, look, it was a middle like this. I said to him, I said, while I was sitting, I'm not getting married the way you planned for me. I'm getting somebody else's wedding gown. So that's how I started to go to That's how my wedding went. And that time they used to invite people in a restaurant, whatever, as much as they knew. They used to have some entertainment for that. And after that, I didn't know what sex was. We had to pay $200 to get apartment. It was like now here, hard to find. This French woman was going to go back French. She had an apartment on the top floor, 28th Street. No, 33rd Street.
33rd Street.
33rd Street on the top floor. And then my husband supposed to be paid. It was already. So we had to pay $200 in order to be able to get the apartment. We went there. I started making their house there. The apartment was on the top floor. We had no electricity that time. They had something.
The gas line?
Not gas line.
Kerosene?
No. They had something soft. Kerosene. We used to light it with a match.
Did it have a mantle on it?
Mantle, yeah.
That's gas line.
Whatever. Yeah. So we used to do that. And then the bathroom, there was no bath. The toilet was in the apartment building, in the hall, outside the hall. Everybody used to come to that place. Everybody, not everybody. So that, no bath. If you took bath, we did whatever we could in the, I could, whatever I can. One day, we used to wash ourselves, myself. That time I was my own now. I used to sit up. It was something flat like this, and there was a tub. I used to get up on that platform, sit on one of the tubs. It had two tubs. I used to stay in the bathroom and wash myself. When I was pregnant, I washed myself. I had long hair, wet hair. I couldn't come down. The big stomach didn't want to come down. I couldn't fold myself to come down. I cried a little bit. I said, am I going to wait until Matthew come home to take me down? So I struggled this way, that way. I had a chair before to go on the sink. I couldn't come to the chair. My stomach was like this. So that's how I managed to come on the chair. After that, I never took a chance again to go that place to wash myself. I used to sponge myself.
In a way, you went from being a girl to an adult overnight.
Overnight. Well, no experience. Some people think orphanage being all girls, nobody talked to them. As I said, we were only thinking our lives. Nobody talked anything, sex or anything.
And is that common in the Armenian culture that women are not told?
No. I don't know that time how the others do. I didn't know. I had no experience. I can't tell you anything. How they went through, I don't think so.
Tell me, did you see anything in America that you had never seen before in those first couple of years? What was the most new and different?
Everything was different for me. Everything was new to me. Nothing was new. Nothing I knew.
Maybe something like riding on a subway or...
Subway, I think my uncle used to tell me. Sometimes when we went shopping, he used to tell me what fruit to pick up, how to do. Things like that he showed me. Subways, I never took subway that time. They had bus, I think. But I used to go once in a while to some place. I don't know, I forgot.
Those first couple years you were here, did you feel very alone? Because, you know, a lot of your family, you've either lost them or they're still over across the ocean.
Everything was so new to me, I didn't feel any lose. Or maybe I was young, I didn't feel it.
When did you have your first child?
After 9 months, 1921. They married me in 1920. Nine months later, the baby came.
And how many kids did you have?
Then that's another thing. My husband, all the others went to public hospital to have their babies. My husband said, because when you come home, you have nobody. He put me in the women's hospital, they used to call, 29th Street. He arranged me there because that was private hospital. They kept you 14 days. So, because you pay for it. 14 days, after 14 days you come out. But when the baby was born, they didn't trust me, the baby. They said, you're a child yourself. How are you going to take the baby yourself home? But I said, no, the baby's mine. I can take care of him, of him. Anyway, but when he was 2 days old, they turned the skin of the penis to clean. 2 days old yet. When they turned it, the skin scratched. Then the nurse, the stupid nurse, put iodine on it. The iodine burned all the skin. He was sore. They used to call crybaby all the time. He cried because he had sore. So because he had sore, they said when the 14 days were over, private 14 days were over, which I was supposed to stay only 14 days, they didn't send me home. I used to say, even at that time, I want to go home. Every day sounds a month, every month sounds a year. I used to tell the nurses that time. I could speak that much. So when the time came, they didn't send me home. They didn't want to send me home. Then they were sick. Then they had to tell me why I can't go home. My husband had to sign to take me out. He didn't want to sign because they were responsible. I had to stay in the hospital until his soul got healed. So I stayed 28 days in the hospital before I... But after I came home, sometimes when I don't sleep, I wonder myself sometimes. All the thing I did with no experience at all. And every time I came home today, I had to take the baby at the hospital to be checked for the sore. But on the wall, I never missed anything. What you're supposed to do to a child? I was nursing. I nursed 7 months, the other one, 6, 7 months. I nursed both of them. But I read there what I should do, what's good for the baby. I did everything that was written on it when I was home. How to bathe, how I used to wash my nipple before I nursed them.
You were very lucky that you learned English in the orphanage because that came in handy when
you came here.
It gave you a little head start.
Oh, sure. Even the French, I know, on the road, everybody used to call me what to talk. And I could, because in the French, I didn't tell you, most of the time we took oral lesson in the class. Oral.
Order?
Oral. Oral. R-A-L. L. Oral lesson.
Oh, uh-huh.
And
oral.
Oral lesson.
Like oral history.
No, oral lesson.
Oral lesson.
That's how I knew a good friend. I had more French than English when I came to this country. So, like Arthur, my older son, took French. He used to translate in the book, but he wasn't able to talk French as much as I used to. Because, as I say, we learned oral. When we used to sit, I used to be the last one to sit because I knew the answers, what they talked to me. Because if you don't answer right, they make you sit down. We were 60 of us on the line. That's how we took oral lesson. That's how I was pretty good in the French.
So what was the name of your first child?
Arthur.
Arthur. No, yeah. And then you had other children?
I had Edward, her husband.
Arthur and Edward. You had two boys.
Yes.
Tell me a little bit about getting your citizenship papers in 1928, what you had to go through for that experience.
When I went to bring my mother, I went to there.
You've been in contact with your mom?
Well, yes, for letters, only letters. No phone, nothing. So anyway, always. In fact, they used to say, some of them, they didn't get letters. Why don't you learn lesson from Mary? She's sending letter to her mother. You send a letter to every week. The only time she didn't get letter because I had put some money in it. I didn't know the rule that time. I used to put some money for my grandmother to have to pay in the church when they passed the plate.
Collection.
I used to say to them, this is for my grandmother, let him have some collection. When I was in America, and I used to say cent by cent. My husband didn't have money, that much money. Anyway.
So you wanted to bring your mother over here.
Over again. When I went there, that day I was such a headache. He asked me a few questions.
Did you have to go to class?
Oh, yes.
To learn things?
No. I had a book. I learned from the book.
What kinds of things did you have to learn to take your citizenship?
Whatever. Who's the president? Who's vice president? Who collects it? How do they do it? All these things. I knew everyone like my lesson. I follow sometimes. Anyway, I went there. I said to him, I wasn't sure I answered the third answer. I said, did I answer the third lesson right? He said, why? You said, yes, why? Because I have headache. Sometimes I'm not sure. I have very bad headache. So after that, there was a few things to answer. When I went to the last place, the judge said, I said to the judge, did I pass? He said, excellent.
Was that a proud moment for you?
Of course, I became citizen.
Was your husband already a citizen?
No, he was in 1921. If I married the man who was citizen, I become citizen
automatically.
But because I married 1922, I lost that. That's why I had to go for examination. I went for the exam, but I couldn't bring my mother, as I told. By the time 1928, she had a very bad heartache. They said.
Was that a great disappointment to
of
you?
Of course. The only happiness I could give to her was that to bring. I was hoping every minute that I couldn't see him anymore.
We're almost out of time. I want to ask you, in your life, what was your proudest moment? What are you most proud of that you've done in this life?
Raising my children. When they were grown up, you know, when they become especially high school student, I wanted to know where they were, what they doing. So I had give them rule to come home at this hour. One day her husband,
Edward,
didn't come up on time. When he came up, I said, you're late. No, mom, I'm not late. I was in the hall. I said, Edward, I don't know where you are. You're in the hall or in the outside. You're not here. Most of the women which parent, the children are bad. Sometimes I go back where I was doing. She said, no, you're so strict. I was in the hall. She said, he didn't know the time. From now on, the time is street light. As soon as you see the street light, you have to be here. And they did. They did. And her husband made Edward City College free. So did Arthur. Arthur, when the Second World War came, army took him. When they came to examine him, because that time they were against Russia, because we were Armenian, they thought we have some connection with Russia, which we had nothing. I didn't know what Russia was, but they had to check up. Inspection came. All the city, she asked, inspector came, asked what Edward did, Arthur did, because they were going, as I Langleyfield is, you know where it is? Langleyfield, where they examined the airplane before they go to the war. He was in the reserve. Her husband went two years in the army. Thank God they came home, what do you call?
Safe?
Not safe, but with a big name. I mean, I was proud of them. When you said about, I was proud of them. So, as I said, her husband, even the street people praise her husband. Maybe she doesn't know it. When I go, I used to go sometimes when he started business, I used to go there sometimes to take 2-3 buses, doing nothing, just to be in the street, in the store. Everybody used to say, oh, you have a gentleman's son. Well, anyway, I'm not praising. But what's the truth is truth. I can't say it if they're not there. I can't lie. I don't want to lie. I don't make up things. I don't believe in. If I talk something about you, wrong thing, if somebody told you, you know what Mary told you about you? I must know what I could tell you too, what I talked about. I don't go to faces. Until now, that's why many people, even the center, I go to the center now. I'm talking too much. Wherever I go, they call me Little Lovely Mary.
Have you ever gone back to Turkey to...
Oh, yes, we did. 1976, I think we went, we traveled all the way to Armenia, and then from Armenia, we had we went to Turkey.
What, did you go back to the town that you were born in?
No, I asked to my husband. I asked my husband. He was afraid. He said, we don't want to take a chance. We went to Constantinople. We stayed in hotel. I wanted to go very much. I wanted to see where my city looked like. Where was I born? At least I wanted to see, to know where I was. He was afraid to go. So we didn't go. We only went to Constantinople. We stayed in the hotel. After that, we came home.
What did it feel like to be in Armenia, on that soil again?
Oh, in Armenia, you have a dream there. There isn't anything you don't want to see in Armenia.
Was it emotional to go back?
Oh, everything. Armenia, you go, when you go there, the street, they all pick and talking in Armenian. You have a part in it. Once there was the earthquake, everybody asked me on the street, on Ali Palin Park Avenue. It was, Mary, did you have somebody over the earthquake? They were all mine. I said, they were all mine. How can I say this and that? They were all mine. We haven't got, especially now, they have a lot of trouble now. We have independence, but we have to, they have to have a big support to take care of, to run the place.
I think I know the answer to my final question, but I'll ask it anyway.
Ask anyway.
Are you glad that you came to this country?
Oh, well, there is always glad. I grew up here. I knew, I did everything I know. I came from the people of this world, emotionally, spiritually, everything. So I know what's right, what's wrong.
Mrs. Asadourian, I want to thank you very much. This has been delightful. You're a wonderful storyteller, and you certainly have had a dramatic life, and I'm very pleased to have gotten a chance to put it down on tape.
Thank you very much. You had a hard time to listen to me.
Well, I gave you quickly sometimes.
That's why I got my aunt took me in, because I talk like my father.
There you go. It saved your life, as you say. This is Paul Sigrist signing off with Mary Asadourian on Thursday, September 16th, 1993, with Barbara Dorian in attendance at the Ellis Island Immigration Museum recording studio on the digital equipment. Thank you.
You're welcome.